welcome everybody. It's now the third week of our series called Built Different. When I was in my 40s, I kind of had a midlife crisis. I didn't do anything terrible except go out and buy a fire engine red Mini Cooper convertible. Looked just like that, right? That's a gorgeous car, isn't it? Now, I know, it's like a cliche, right? A middle-aged man trying to drive around something cool like that. But I love that car. I loved it so much. Well, one day, I ran over a small object on the highway, no way to avoid it. And after that, the car started making all these strange noises, so I took it in for repair. But they told me nothing could be done. See, the car had something called a unibody design. That meant that the frame and the body were a single solid piece, inseparable. And since the frame had been damaged by that small object I ran over, they said the whole car had to be scrapped, totaled, sent to the junkyard. Well, I was heartbroken, devastated, and totally shocked. But here's what I want to say to you in this series. You are built different. No matter what happens to you in this life, you will never be sent to the junkyard because God does not make junk. Instead, when something happens, when something goes wrong, God goes to work. It doesn't happen overnight, but little by little, God goes to work. He gives you a complete overhaul, raising you back up to the person you were created to be, the person he had in mind from the very beginning of the world, before the world began. He doesn't just repair you or touch you up here and there, give you a little tune-up, so to speak. No, through the resurrection power of God, you are built different. You become a whole new creation in Christ. A whole new creation in Christ. And when you activate your faith, your life, your story will never be the same. And that's when something powerful happens. As we said last week, life comes back into focus. You begin to see what really matters and what really doesn't matter. You have a kind of uncommon clarity. And with clarity comes something even more powerful, and that's what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk with you today about unshakable peace. We live in a world, in a time when a lot of people live under the heavy burden of fear and worry. For some, it's paralyzing. 1 in 5 adults suffers from anxiety disorder, a medical diagnosis. The rates are even higher for teenagers and young adults. The truth is, we all experience some level of anxiety. But God did not create you to live in a state of distress, upset over your work, your family, your health, your finances. No, God made you to be healthy, whole, and free. This world will never be without trouble. There will always be pressure, stressful situations. But even when you have every reason to be afraid, even when logic tells you to walk in fear, when you are built different because of your faith, you can still have unshakable peace. In today's gospel reading, two disciples of Jesus were on a journey from Jerusalem to a small village called Emmaus, 7 miles away. They were upset, heartbroken, walking in fear. Their dreams had been shattered when Jesus died on the cross. They had followed him, believed in him, learned from him, hoped in him. But then he was gone, dead and buried. A huge rock sat in front of the entrance to the tomb. And a couple of days later, the rock was gone. The tomb was empty. They thought the body had been stolen. On top of that, they were afraid of the Romans because they knew, as disciples, they could also be rounded up, arrested, and crucified themselves. The passage says they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. It also says they were downcast, and that's why they were getting out of Jerusalem as fast as they could. They were walking that lonely road to Emmaus to get away from all that pain. This is a normal response when people lose faith. They run away from the fear, turn to things that promise a quick escape. It's easy to get caught up in an endless cycle of short-term fixes. You know, some people turn to unhealthy substances to numb the pain. Others withdraw from the world, isolate themselves from other people, or they procrastinate, dragging their feet, putting off the inevitable. Some immerse themselves in a digital world that they think will soothe their sorrows, but in the end only adds to their anxiety. These coping mechanisms will never truly satisfy the human soul and can even make things worse. But God has a better plan for your anxiety. He knows a better way out, so that when the storm hits, when the trouble comes, when your child is off course, you lose your job, or the medical report looks bad, you can still have unshakable peace. Fear can be all-consuming. It can swallow us up and begin to control our lives. A friend of mine told me a story recently from her childhood. Her parents loved to go to far-off, exotic places for vacation. My friend, not so much, especially anywhere where she might encounter a dangerous spider. As you know, I'm not a big fan either, but my friend has a rather extreme form of arachnophobia. And I understand why, because when she was 10 years old, her parents took her to the jungles of Africa. They camped for 3 weeks. They camped, they stayed in tents, they spent almost the whole time outside. It was beautiful, but for my friend, danger was lurking everywhere, especially in the form of gigantic, poisonous spiders, like this little guy, known as the King Baboon Spider. Even the name is frightening, right? It's an enormous tarantula known for its 8-inch leg span. 8-inch leg span, right? And also for its aggressive nature. Unlike other tarantulas, this one is aggressive and includes hissing and raising its front legs to attack. Or how about this one, the Golden Orb Web Spider, known for spinning massive webs up to 6 feet in length. The so-called striking female often hangs at head height, sometimes even trapping unsuspecting humans. I'm trying not to pass out right now with fear. So my friend was so afraid that for the whole 3 weeks she refused to remove her hiking boots, even when she went to bed. She didn't want those spiders sneaking in at night and biting her feet. The problem was, after the trip was over, 3 weeks later, her feet had swollen so much from the lack of air, she couldn't get the boots off. She tried and tried, but they wouldn't budge. Her parents pulled and pulled, but it's like they were glued to her feet. It got so bad, they finally had to seek medical attention. For my friend, fear didn't just make her uncomfortable. In that moment, it controlled her life. This is what fear always does, unless it's replaced by something stronger. When you are built different because of faith, you begin to trade unhealthy fear for a whole new reality. In today's second reading, the Apostle Peter says, "Conduct yourselves with reverence during the time of your sojourning." That means your time on earth. And what's interesting is that in the original Greek, that word reverence literally means fear of God. But Peter is not encouraging us to replace one bad fear with another, because fear of God does not mean being afraid of him. It's more like awe and wonder, a profound respect, a constant awareness that God holds the ultimate authority over our lives, that God is God and we are not. Peter says that God is not a merciless judge, an arbitrary judge. He is a loving Father. And because of that, Peter goes on to say, you were ransomed from your futile conduct handed on by your ancestors. You were ransomed not with perishable things like silver or gold, as valuable as those things might be. No, you were ransomed with something far more valuable. The precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. Peter was saying, look at what it cost God to redeem you. It cost him everything. His beloved son, when his beloved son handed over his life for you. Here's the principle. You were redeemed at an enormous price. That means you are valuable. You are worthy. You are priceless. And if God paid that much for you, he's not going to let you fall now. He is your heavenly Father. And your life forever belongs to him. He is in control. And everything is up to him in the end. So don't let fear control your life. Over the last 7 months, I had to remind myself of that several times. As some of you may know, our parish school has been going through a difficult situation without a principal since nearly the beginning of the school year. We've been making it work, but at first, I was very afraid, very worried. Like a lot of people, you know, teachers, parents, and other students, some of the students, I couldn't sleep at night. I would wake up in the middle of the night with my heart racing and pounding in my chest. But then, over time, I reminded myself of what I'm telling you. Something shifted on the inside. And I began to believe deep down in my spirit what I already knew in my head, that school doesn't belong to me. At the end of the day, it belongs to God. It belongs to God. And he is in control. And if it belongs to him, he will take care of everything. And everything will work. He will make everything work out for the good, as he always does. And as he has already. After that, I could sleep again. I stayed in peace. What happened? I traded unhealthy fear for a deep reverence and a healthy fear of who God is and what he can do. This is what happened to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in today's gospel. Jesus came alongside and walked with them. He listened to their concerns, heard all their fears. At first, they didn't know it was Jesus. They thought it was a stranger. And this is why fear so often controls our lives and why anxiety holds such a tight grip over us sometimes. It's because when we're walking through the dark valleys, like those two disciples, we forget, we don't recognize that Jesus is right there with us, listening to our concerns, understanding our fears. Well, in the story, Jesus goes on to explain the scriptures to those two disciples, told them how everything that had happened that they thought was bad and terrible was all part of God's plan from the very beginning, and not to worry. After that, they shared a meal, broke bread together, and instantly they recognized Jesus in the stranger. But then he vanished, and they turned to each other and they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" That wasn't heartburn they were talking about. That was fear giving way to hope, anxiety giving way to assurance, sad hearts giving way to burning, passionate hearts. They came to believe with an unwavering faith that God was in control and always had been. After that, they turned around, stopped running, and went back to the disciples in Jerusalem. All that fear, stress, worry, and anxiety, it turned into unshakable peace. Every year, our eighth grade students at our school go through a lot of needless anxiety, in my opinion. For months before high school acceptance letters are mailed out, they are on pins and needles waiting for the results, desperate to know if they got into the high school they really wanted to get into. They're so nervous about it. In some years, I'll go over there and try to reassure them, allay their fears, put their anxiety into perspective. And I never say this to brag, but I do tell them about my life and what happened to me, how I went to an elite, top-of-the-list private school in Atlanta, top in the Southeast, for grammar school, middle school, and into high school. But then, in high school, I had to transfer to a local public school in sort of a poor area of town. turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me. Every child, whatever the school they're in, wherever God wants them, that's the right fit for them. But the point I make to our students is that I went on to college. Not only that, I earned an MBA, a PhD, a law degree from a top 5 law school, and went to work for a top 10 global law firm. Again, not bragging, I'm telling them, I'm pointing out the truth, that what matters is not where you go to high school or even college. What matters is where God wants you to be, the place that's right for you. And if you follow Him, everything will fall into place. After that, I sing them a song. You've probably heard of it. It's from the Disney movie Frozen. You know, let it go, right? And I change the words to match the situation. And they end up laughing so hard, they forget about, at my singing, they forget about all their troubles. And by the way, this year, like every year, every single one of those eighth grade students got into the high school of their first choice, many with honors. See, God is in control of everything, and there's never any reason to worry. It's easy to let our lives be driven by fear. Fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of not having enough, fear of what other people think. In today's first reading, the Apostle Peter was addressing a large crowd, and he had every reason to be afraid. They came from all over the world. Many would be hostile to the message of Jesus. But ever since the resurrection, Peter was no longer controlled by fear. He was no longer controlled by fear, and the crowd didn't change, the pressure didn't change, but Peter changed. He was built different, a new creation in Christ. And when you grow in your faith, when I grow in my faith, we continue to be built different, become new creations in Christ. We see things differently. We realize that God is in control, that our lives are up to Him. They are in His hands, and we have been redeemed at a great cost. And when that becomes real for you, the pressure lifts. The anxiety loosens its grip. The circumstances around you may not change, but what's controlling you does. And you know that Jesus, because you are built different, you know that Jesus is walking right next to you the whole time along the way. And then you begin to experience a kind of peace that a lot of people never know. A peace that surpasses all understanding. A peace that is deeply rooted in a reverence for God and a healthy fear of who He is and what He can do in your life. It is an unshakable peace.